The reading is from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 12, and I'm reading from the New International Version. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his only, one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us.
Well, thank you, Cheryl. And as we start this new series today, Emotionally Healthy Relationships, I want to share a story from a time before I entered into full-time ministry. And I was working as an employment consultant for the Salvation Army at this time. And it was a season in my life where God really gave me a heart for people. It was very much a job that was a stepping stone into full-time ministry. Part of my role as an employment consultant was basically to support and assist people who were looking for work, who needed assistance getting back into the workforce. And I loved this job. I really enjoyed it, particularly the array of different people that I was able to meet in this particular job. And one person that I met, one man in particular, really stood out to me as a person that God used to give me that heart for people and that love for people once again. And his name was Craig. And Craig was a bit of a guy that I probably wouldn't have associated much in previous to this job, a guy that was a bit rough around the edges. A person, again, I probably wouldn't have spoken to or associated with prior to working in this job. He was rough around the edges. He was alcohol dependent, he was drug addicted, and Craig had an extremely tough upbringing. But in my first few days of this job, my first few weeks, I was a little bit green, a little bit wet around the ears or behind the ears, as they say. And my boss basically gave me the opportunity, the responsibility of helping Craig and helping him get ready for work, whether that be taking him down the road to find some clothes that were adequate for him to wear for his job interview, or giving him a travel voucher or something that would allow him to get to these job interviews. My job and my responsibility was just to be all I could be for this man, Craig, to be his gopher, basically, as I learnt the role and the job. And I remember going on these walks with Craig and getting to know him and hear his story. And it just gave me a real heart for him as I heard his story. And I was able to share faith with him as we went on these journeys together. Now, I know, obviously, I was a little bit hesitant at first to have someone like Craig on my caseload, but my boss insisted that I did, and I'm glad he did. Previously, I just wished I had high-end managers or university students that I could work with to help find work, but here I was given this opportunity and this responsibility, and again, I'm thankful to God, but also to my boss, that he persisted in putting Craig on my caseload. Because the reality was that God started to do a great work in my life once again. And he was allowing me to get past the rough edges in people's lives, beyond all of the rough edges of Craig and others like him, in order to be able to see people like Craig and others like him for who they truly were, men and women made in the image of God. This was the start of my journey of really starting to harvest and develop a love for people within this role, which put me in good stead for entering into full-time ministry. Now, I don't always get it right, but this is the start for us coming to really genuinely love people as we come again to start this new series, Emotionally Healthy Relationships. The art of loving well requires us to be able, again, to get past all the scars, to get past all the rough edges, to get past people's mistakes, and to love them for who they truly are, made in the image of God, no matter how hard they may be or may frustrating they may be in our lives. If we are to build a healthy community here at San Suzy Baptist Church, if we are to grow in our ability to form emotionally a healthy relationships with one another, then it all starts with learning how to love well, learning the art of loving well. This is the most important ingredient. Take a look at this passage from Colossians 3, verses 12 to 14. It says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you, and all of these virtues." This is the key part, verse 14, and over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. To be able to truly love one another, it requires us to develop and harvest a deep and meaningful relationship with our God, a deep love for God, because it starts and it ends with our love for God, which then flows into our lives and out into our relationships with one another. In the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 37 to 40, Jesus, when he was asked by one of the Pharisees, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment?" Jesus responds in this way by saying, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." As we looked at a few weeks back, this is the true essence of the Christian faith, the true essence of Christian spirituality. And it requires, as Peter Scazzaro points out, that we experience connection with God, which then flows into ourselves and then flows outwardly into the lives of others. He says, "God invites us to practice his presence in our daily lives. At the same time, he invites us to practice the presence of people." Well, as we can see from these passages, this is something that Jesus readily did. Not only did he practice the presence of God, he also practiced the presence of other people. The two are interchangeable. They are unified as one. We cannot love others if we are not loving God first and foremost with our whole entire lives. And Jesus actually summarized the whole entire Bible and the Christian faith with this unbreakable union. Once again, the love of God first and foremost flows into ourselves, which then flows into the lives of others around us that we associate with, that we mingle with, that we commune with. And this is exactly what John says in that passage that was read out to us, 1 John, particularly verses 7 to 8, which says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." So love is to be the very centerpiece of the community of faith. Love is to be the very centerpiece of the church and the very centerpiece of any relationship that we share with the other. But what does it look like to love according to God? What does true Christ-like, Christ-centered love actually look like? And how does it differ from how we might define love? I want to encourage us in this moment now just to reflect and to journal down what true Christian love, what Christ-like love actually looks like. It may differ from how we may define love in our human understanding of the word. So you may want to journal it down in your journals or write your reflection in the chat below. How does our definition of love differ from what Christ-like love actually is? Take a moment to reflect and to write your responses in the chat below. Well, thank you to those who responded, but there's many passages again that we can go to which indicate to us what true Christ-like love looks like. But the most explicit one and specific one, I believe, is 1 John 3, a little bit earlier in the book of 1 John, that says this in 1 John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and our sisters. If you said that Christ-like love goes deeper than an emotional feeling that we may share for another individual, then you'd be right. If you shared or you reflected on love being and going deeper than, or love being a self-sacrificing kind of love, a love where we put others first, then you would be right. If you put down that love, true love, Christ-centered love for our neighbor goes beyond our own circle of people that we might say are our favorites, then you would be right. You'd be correct. Because Christ-centered love, love as Christ has defined it, is all about the other, putting others first. It's all about that sacrificial love that we spoke about a few weeks ago. For you see, Christ-like love is like no other. Christ-like love is demonstrated and personified in the greatest act that this world has ever seen. It is personified and most evidently demonstrated on the cross of Jesus Christ. When he went to the cross for the sins of mankind, to redeem us, to rescue us, that is the very personified definition of love that the Bible speaks about. Theologian Leon Morris says, "The Christians thought of love as that quality we see on the cross. It is a love for the utterly unworthy, a love that proceeds from a God who is love. It is a love lavished on others without a thought whether they are worthy or not. It proceeds from the nature of the lover, not from any attractiveness in the beloved." But you see, I could have viewed or perceived Craig as someone unworthy of my love or my affection because of the way he looked, because of the way he behaved. I could have seen or regarded Craig as someone as unworthy of my love and my time and my affections because of the mistakes he had made in his past or the way he lived his life. But I'm thankful to God that he allowed me to see past all that, to see Craig for who he truly was, a man made in the image of his Creator. And that put me in good stead to therefore see everyone in the same light. Because as Romans 5:8 says, I was still a sinner when Christ died for me. So why should I view others as unworthy when Christ has seen them worthy enough to go to the cross for them? This is how we should view our relationships with our friends and everyone in our lives, amen, with one another. So with this as a starting point, there is obviously a barrier that stops us from being able to love well and to love as Christ has loved us. And that barrier is obviously our brokenness and our sin. And this is something that Jesus died for. This is what his death ultimately was to achieve, to redeem us, to rescue us from this brokenness, from our sin. And so over the next few weeks, it's again all about growing in our ability to grow as emotionally healthy, spiritually healthy followers of Jesus, that we can ultimately apply what we have learnt in the realms of emotionally healthy spirituality ultimately to our relationships and everyone that we associate with on a regular basis. But that is, again, over the next few weeks, our desire and our prayer, my prayer, is that God will move us from a sense of brokenness into a sense of wholeness. Have a look at the picture and the graph on your screen now. As you can see on the left side of your screen, these are the symptoms of brokenness, which we operate out of from time to time, in our brokenness, our sin, and it festers and leaks into our relationships with others, which leads to pain and hardship. Ultimately, it leads to relational breakdown when we operate out of brokenness in our lives. For example, defensiveness, low self-awareness, isolation, and blaming. Again, our prayer is that we get beyond the left-hand side of the screen to the right-hand side of the screen. Wholeness, where we allow the Holy Spirit to take a hold of our lives. And we ultimately do that by submitting our sin to Him, submitting our brokenness to Him, and allowing the Holy Spirit to move us again from brokenness to wholeness. These are the characteristics that define wholeness, that we become more approachable. We grow in our self-awareness. We become less reactive in certain situations. We take responsibility for our actions instead of blaming others. Ultimately, we're characterized by courage. These things ought to characterize our relationships. And so what we need to realize as followers of Jesus is that every follower of Jesus, every single one of us, need to harvest and develop practical skills in our lives that allow us to go deeper in our relationships with one another. These are the skills that we're going to be looking at in the coming weeks. We won't have time to go through all of them, but hopefully down the track, when restrictions ease, we can undertake the course for those who want to do it and identify and work through each of these skills in a more productive way, a more specific, targeted way. But here are some of the skills and the skills that Peter Scazzaro talks about in his course, Emotionally Healthy Relationships. The first one is the community temperature reading, which we're going to touch on briefly today. Then stop mind reading and clarify expectations. Genogram your family. Explore the iceberg. Listen incarnationally. Climb the ladder of integrity. Learning to fight cleanly or clean fighting. Develop a rule of life to implement emotionally healthy skills. And so again, very briefly this morning, we're going to be looking at the community temperature reading, which is all about ultimately helping us to discover and express our God-given voice and to ultimately build healthy relationships with others. And this skill is ultimately a building block that which we can utilize to build upon with the other skills. We need this skill in order to be able to build upon and learn the other skills and practice them effectively. And so what we see on the screen here with this graphic is that this skill is ultimately a communication skill, which is meant for two or more people. It's all about building or reading the temperature in relationships. And its purpose is to help us to discover and express our God-given voice in order to build healthy relationships with others. And this involves briefly sharing with others and briefly sharing with others around five key categories that we're going to briefly run through now. The first of those is appreciations. I believe this is something that we need to grow in, amen? Showing our appreciation for one another, no matter how trivial or how great the act is that someone does for us, we need to continually show our appreciation for one another. So often when we go through it, we always think about showing our appreciation, or generally we say it when someone's gone above and beyond the call of duty in our lives, but very rarely do we say thank you to those people who might stay behind to vacuum the church or clean the church. Very rarely do we show or say, I appreciate you waiting for me last night when I was running late, or I appreciate you arriving early and getting the coffee ready before the meeting. This is something that I've been trying to grow in my relationship with my wife, Kelly, as well. I've made the effort in our relationship to say, I appreciate you making me lunch, or I appreciate the way you are looking after the kids at this present time and helping Malachi with his schoolwork whilst trying to juggle the other two children as well. This is something that I'm trying to grow in my life as well, showing my appreciation more. And I want to encourage us to reflect on where in your life can you show more appreciation to others? Because we need to show our appreciation, don't we? Because they keep us from taking one another for granted. When we show our appreciation, it's preventing us from taking one another for granted. And it has a tremendous positive impact on our relationships with others. So I encourage you just to reflect now, where you are, where in your life where in your life do you maybe need to show your appreciation more to others? Well, the next category is puzzles, and we use this skill or this attribute, this category, when someone disappoints us. And we use it in particular when we don't have all the information or we don't want to make negative assumptions about people, particularly when we don't have all the information to go with it. Puzzles prevent us from jumping to conclusions or negatively interpreting what is going on around us. And they also give us the opportunity to ask questions, to get to the bottom of what actually has happened, instead of us making judgments. So for example, instead of being upset with someone and not saying anything or angrily saying, why didn't you return my call? Or instead you can say, I'm puzzled as to why you didn't return my call yesterday. Or instead of saying, why did you just take that bowl without asking? You can say, I'm puzzled as to why you took the bowl from the house or from church without telling anyone yesterday. Can we see how it's a more positive way of getting to the bottom of situations when people disappoint us? It's even great from a marriage point of view, a relational point of view. Instead of going, why didn't you wash the dishes last night? I'm married to a slob. Instead of saying something like that, we say, I'm puzzled as to why you didn't do the dishes last night when we needed it to be done. Or kids, why didn't you clean the kitchen last night? I'm puzzled as to why you didn't clean the kitchen last night when we knew that it needed to be done. These are hopefully examples that reflect how saying something like this, I'm puzzled, is a more positive, healthier way than accusing someone or saying, why didn't you do this? I'm sure as we practice this skill in our lives, again, it will definitely allow us to build healthy relationships with one another. The next one is complaints without possible solutions. And what we need to realize is that this is a normal part of our lives, particularly when we've been created as humans with different likes and dislikes. We have different priorities, don't we? And so when we may have an issue with someone, well, the reality is every relationship is going to have certain complaints or things they don't like. But what we must realize, however, is that there are two challenges with complaints. The first challenge with complaints is some families grow up with this unwritten rule that we don't say, if you don't have anything to say, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it at all. That's the first challenge. And what happens when we have this family of origin or this understanding is that we struggle to say anything negative about anything. We don't think it's nice to say anything negative at all. The second challenge is that it's easier to complain and to not take any responsibility for a possible solution. And in my time in ministry, in church life, and church world, I've seen these two challenges in play more than you realize. Because people are upset. People do get upset about things. They do have concerns. They do have issues. And some people struggle to voice that. They don't think it's a nice thing to communicate something that's negative, or they just don't have the capabilities or the courage to be able to speak up and to articulate a concern or an issue that they may have. On the flip side, there are some people that do have their complaints. They do voice their issues and their concerns. But they pointed at the person that's at fault and they point the finger at someone and ask, and expect them to provide the solution without thinking up a solution for themselves. So the purpose of complaints with possible solutions is to help us with small irritations and annoyances that arise each day. And one possible strategy that Peter Scazzaro says that we should employ is phrases like, I notice or I prefer. For example, I notice you often leave the lights on in the house or in the church when you leave. I prefer that you turn them off. Or I notice our meetings start later. I prefer we start them at the agreed time. And these are obviously more positive ways of communicating the issue at hand instead of saying, why do you always leave the lights on? Or I wish you would start our meetings on time every once in a while. Hopefully we're starting to see that it's more positive to communicate and voice our concerns in this way. Obviously, if a complaint cannot be resolved this simply through this process and it may require more lengthy mediation, then this is where the skill or the art of learning the skill of fighting cleanly comes into play, which we're going to come to in the next few weeks. But appreciations, puzzles, complaints with possible solutions, and last of all, the last two are new information and hopes and wishes. New information, the reality with this is that we need to be up to date with what's happening in one another's lives, amen? It's so important that we communicate and go into depth as to what's happening in one another's lives, and this can take many forms. But this is a good way of staying current again and up to date with one another. It's obviously important to share with one another what's going on in our lives, and particularly when we may need prayer in our lives as well. And this is something that we do really well as a church, I believe. So new information, keeping up to date and learning about what's happening in one another's lives. And last of all, hopes and wishes. It's so important in our relationships, particularly in the church, to be sharing our hopes, our dreams, our wishes for our family, our church family, but also the wider church. It's important to listen, to support one another as well as we articulate these. It's also very important in a family dynamic as well, the family context, that as we share or allow one another to share our hopes, our dreams, our wishes, particularly our children, what we'll see is that we'll start to see a richer family dynamic come to the fore as we support and as we listen to one another, again, share our hopes, dreams, and wishes for the future. And I encourage you to, again, look at the notes in the notes section in order to go a bit deeper into this, because we don't have time to unpack it, obviously, here today. But there you have it. These are the five categories, once again, of the community temperature reading skill. And again, a skill that when implemented will allow us to go deeper in our relationships with one another, within the life of our church and the friendships and the relationships that you associate with on a regular basis. And so over the coming weeks, once again, we're going to be diving into these areas, these skills, these facets, in order to grow in our relationships and continue to build emotionally healthy relationships in our lives. Emotionally healthy relationships ultimately built on love. Christ-like love. Love as the foundation in all of this. It's so important. Love of God, love of self, love of others. So as we dive into this over the coming weeks, let me bring this before our Lord in prayer as we continue to discover and develop emotionally healthy relationships. Well, Father God, as we reflect on what we've heard today, we thank you for your love first and foremost. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you came to die the death that we deserve so that we may live. And we worship you in light of that reality right now. We appreciate you. We appreciate what you've done. And Lord, we ask that this reality, this living reality, would infiltrate every aspect of our lives, that it may flow in and through us, out into the relationships around us. And we pray that as we continue to dive into this series, dive into these skills, that you help us develop practical skills, life, and these rhythms in order to engage in a more healthily positive manner, ultimately in a way that gives you glory and honors your name. So Lord, be with us as we continue to tackle this, to dive into it, and bless us, Lord God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.